I'm pumped to get week two started because I'm hearing some awesome kind of God stories going on in our growth groups. What's happening is we're taking steps of faith as we're praying these prayers. Truth is as we look across the United States, most people are praying, God, would you bless me? God, would you protect me? God, would you help me? And these are great prayers, and we can and we should pray these things. But what we're doing is we're arming each other with what we're calling dangerous prayers, because when we pray them, things happen. When we pray these prayers, God shakes things up a little bit. And I'm excited to get going today because we're going to pray a very powerful prayer, and it's the prayer of availability. Now, all throughout Scripture, if you read the Hebrew Scriptures, if you read through the New Testament, if you read through all of the Scriptures, you're going to see that God calls people. And what we're not talking about is like God picks up the phone. Hey, help me out a little bit. Fix up the phone. That's not what we're talking about. It's that where God moves on behalf of somebody. He prompts somebody, speaks something, says you need to go here or speak this or say this to this person or call this out or speak this truth, that God is going to call those who know him to do something that he wants done. And there are essentially different responses to when God speaks to us. And what I want to do, just to open us up, is talk about three different responses that we can make when God speaks to us or prompts us to do something. Here's the first example is we're going to look at Jonah. And Jonah responded to God's call like this. If you're taking notes, number one is Jonah said, here I am, but I'm not going. Here I am, I'm not going. And some of you can relate to that. Here I am, God, but nope, not going to do it. You said it, but I'm not doing it. Jonah says this, Jonah chapter 1, verses 1, it said, the Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to that great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I've seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and what happened? Let's say this together. And went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. Right? He's trying to get away. Here I am, God, but I'm not going. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to say it. And I wonder how many of us have had a similar experience where you felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to do something or to say something or to give to something or to take a step of faith, and you say, here I am, God, but I'm not going, not today. In fact, I was thinking about this and just 2 weeks ago, and it's hard to believe, but Kobe Bryant passed away, and we found out right after church. And so I went on a bike ride, and when I go on a bike ride, I try to take the path of where there's least amount of people. And so I go down Agora Road and then down Las Virgenes, and this is exactly where the helicopter crash was. And so I'm pedaling down there, and there's hundreds of people there. And I'm pedaling, and there's people walking on the sidewalk just like shocked. There's some people that are you know, kind of whispering, you know, quietly to each other. Then I was pedaling, and I saw this guy who's just weeping, is absolutely weeping. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was speaking and say, hey, you need to stop and pray for this guy. And you may ask, how do you know the difference between the voice in your head and the voice of the Holy Spirit? I'll just ask this question. If I do this, will this bring God glory? And so obviously, stopping and praying for this guy, bring God glory. And so I'm pedaling, and you got to remember that 2 weeks ago was Vision Sunday. We talked about how God is calling us as his people to live in such a surprising way that the watching world asks why, that we're supposed to surprise the world like that. So that's actually going through my head as I'm riding my bike, and I see this guy. The Holy Spirit says, you need to stop and pray for this guy. And I'm pedaling, and I see him, and he's getting closer, and I'm pedaling, and getting closer, and I'm pedaling, and I just keep on pedaling. And essentially, I say, God, here I am, but not today. And I wonder what kind of opportunity, what would have happened if I had stopped and been obedient to praying for this guy? I don't know. You don't want to know why? Because I said, here I am, and not today. And the reality is that all of us have experiences like this, where God speaks something to us, calls us to take a step of faith, to walk in obedience, to go somewhere, say something, whatever it is, and we say, here I am, God, but not today. Not today. And Jonah, God speaks to Jonah and says, Jonah, I want you to go and preach this message to your enemies, which of course Jonah doesn't want to do. But you realize that being available to God is not about what I want to do, but it's about being available to what God wants to be done in and through my life. And Jonah says, here I am, God, but I'm not going. God will speak to us and is going to speak to us, and we've got different responses. Let me give you the second one. The second example is from Moses. And Moses says, if you're taking notes, here I am, but send somebody else. Here I am, send somebody else. Send my brother. This isn't my perfect calling. This is not in my sweet spot. You need to find somebody else. This is an amazing encounter for Moses, though. This is the burning bush encounter. God reveals himself to Moses, and an incredible call that he has on his life. Exodus chapter 3, verse 10, it says, God says this to Moses. He said, so now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Now, the gravity of that calling, fantastic, amazing, compelling. God, you need to go. This is your calling on your life. And Moses has this moment, and they begin this discussion, and the end conversation, this is what Moses says in Exodus chapter 4, verse 13. But Moses said, oh, Lord, please send somebody else to do it. In other words, God, here I am, but send somebody else. In other words, who am I? Like, I'm not good enough. I don't have the skills. I don't have the capacity. It's not my calling. I don't have the time. I don't have the resources. You need to find somebody else. I'm not the right person for this. And it's easy for us to do this as God begins to speak to our life and calls us to get out of our comfort zone, move forward, make an impact. It's easy for us to look around and say, well, you know, I'm just not gifted like that. I don't have that kind of time. I don't have the resources. And we make these excuses either out of insecurity or we say, you know, I don't feel like I can do this. I don't have the capacity for this. Or sometimes we say this and we think, hey, somebody else is better equipped for this. I shouldn't give to this. Somebody else got more money. They should do it. They've got more time than I do. They should dedicate their time to it. I'm too busy for this. And we say, here I am, God. But you got to send somebody else. But the example I want to give this morning is from Isaiah. And Isaiah prays a very, very dangerous prayer. And this is a prayer that my prayer is that we would have the audacity as a church, as individuals, that we would pray this prayer. And it comes from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, and it says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And before I read Isaiah's response, I want you to notice what Isaiah did not say. Isaiah didn't say, well, before I answer that question, what's the climate like there? Before I answer that question, like, what's the pay scale there? What are the benefits? Am I going to have some time off? He doesn't say any of those things. Here's what he said. He says, in fact, help me out with this. He says, here I am, send me. Let's say that one more time. Here I am, send me. And this, I don't need to tell you, is a very dangerous prayer when you invite God to send you, because it's going to take you out of your comfort zone. It's going to take you to a place that you're not right now. Let me ask you a question. Out of all of these different examples that we have with Jonah and Moses and Isaiah, where are you today? Here I am, God, but not today. Here I am, God, but send somebody else. Or here I am, God, send me. Here's the question I want to pose this morning is, how do we get the kind of attitude of this kind of submission, this kind of availability? How do we get to this place where we're like Isaiah, where it's like, God, whatever you call me to do, wherever you call me to go, however you want me, whatever it is, God, here I am, send me. And in order to answer that question, I want to just kind of take a couple steps backwards and look at the verses that lead up to Isaiah's response. And here's what happens. What do you need to live a life fully surrendered to God? Here it is. Number one is you need an encounter with God. You need an encounter with God. And this is what we see with Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, he had an experience or an encounter with God. Verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. What's going on here? Isaiah is seeing and experiencing the presence of God like he had never seen and experienced before. Verse 2, it says, above him were seraphim, those are angels, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces as a sign of humility. With two they covered their feet. With two they were flying, and they were calling out to one another, holy, holy, holy. Three times, a sign of perfection, absolute holiness, they're saying. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And at the sound of their voices, the doorpost shook, and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. And see, Isaiah sees and he experiences the presence of God. And when he experienced the glory of God, it completely transformed his life. You know, one of the incredible things about the God that we serve is that God is a personal God. That God wants you to know him. That we don't serve a God that's far removed, that's distant, that created the world, and then that just step back and allow everything to kind of spin out of control. We have a deeply personal God, which means that not only can you know him, but he is pursuing you in such a way that you will know him. That God wants you to experience him, to have a personal relationship with him. And maybe one of the reasons that we are not as available to God as we would like to be is because we've not experienced the presence of God recently like this. In fact, I'll tell you a story, and just to be a little vulnerable here, I'll tell you that I love this church. I am passionate about the future of this church, but it was about a year ago that it was just kind of a difficult season, and there were circumstances going on. A lot of it, I think, was spiritual warfare, but I was just kind of in a place where it's like, I don't know if I can keep doing this. And so I'm running down Chesbrough Canyon, and I've got my headphones in, and not even listening to worship music necessarily. It's just like songs that were coming on. And this song came on by Lord Huron, and I'm running, and the chorus pops up, and the chorus goes, "To the ends of the earth, would you follow me?" And it's not talking about Jesus at all, but I just felt in that. So I'm running, and I've got this song going through my head, and I felt like in that moment I was just overwhelmed by the presence of God, and I felt so clearly the voice of God speaking to me through that song. Justin, is that true? Like, would you follow me to the ends of the earth? And I'm running, and there's people around, and I'm weeping at this point. And I say probably much too loudly, it's like, Lord, I'll follow you ever. And there's people all over and running. And I just have this encounter and experience with God that brought me to this deeper place of real submission where honestly, sincerely, I could say, God, whatever you want me to do, wherever it is, however you want me to serve, I will do it to the ends of the earth. I will follow you. Some of you may say, yeah, that's never really happened to me before. Like I believe in God, or I know God, or maybe it hasn't happened in a long time where it's just like, I've never really deeply, experientially known God like that before. And what I want to tell you this morning is that you absolutely can know God like that. Not only is it possible, but that's God's desire for your life, is that you would experientially, intimately know him. In fact, James 4:8, it says this. It says, draw near to God. And you know what the result of that is? You draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. You take a step in. You decide to press in. You move forward, and God will meet you in that place. You could be driving on the 405, stuck in traffic, listening to a podcast. And you say, you know what? I'm going to put that away, and I'm going to put a worship song on. And you just take that step, and you begin to draw near to God, and God will meet you there, and you'll experience his presence. And it'll be like, man, I was stuck in the 405, and all of a sudden, I'm in the throne room of God. And this amazing thing happens as you begin to draw near to God. You could be in a place where you're trying to put the kids down quickly to bed because you're exhausted, and you're just trying to get to your Netflix show. And you decide, you know what, instead of that, we're going to seek God together. And so as you tuck your kids in, you kneel down at their bed, and you just, God, I'm so grateful for my children and for the blessing there are. And you begin to speak life into them and speak that promise over them, and you begin to declare the praise of God in that room. And all of a sudden, you press into God, and you take a step closer to God, and God will meet you in that place. You draw near to God, and the promise is that God will draw near to you. Why is it that you may not be as available to God as you want to be? It could be that you haven't sought after God in a while and you haven't experienced his presence in a while. Here, let me give you the second one is how do we get to this place of availability, of submission before God? Here I am, send me. Here's the second one, is that you got to grasp the weight of your sin. Grasp the weight of your sin. In fact, I'm going to argue that one of the biggest cultural lies that we believe today is, hey, I'm a good person. You're a good person. Hey, they're good people. And I'll tell you, I know a lot of good people, but what we need to understand is how good or bad you are is not what establishes a relationship with God. It's knowing that God is perfect, that God is holy, that God is righteous, and I am not, and therefore I need a Savior that bridges the gap between my imperfection and God's perfection. That your good behavior does not get you to God, neither does your bad behavior get to God. The only thing that establishes a relationship with God is recognizing and receiving Jesus as Savior. And in verse 5, Isaiah has this moment where he is overwhelmed and he is grasping the weight of his sin. And he says this, he says, "Woe to me, I'm ruined." In other words, like I'm undone here. I'm nothing. I'm pathetic. I'm a sinner. I've got nothing to offer. God is holy and I am not. God is righteous and I'm unrighteous. He is full of glory and I am full of sin. And he says, "Woe to me. I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips." Like, you've got no idea of what's come out of these lips recently. "I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." In other words, Isaiah's having this moment where he sees God in his perfection, and he sees himself in his own imperfection. And Isaiah has this powerful moment where he is deeply aware of his own sin. And then this is what happens. Verse 6, Isaiah said, "And then," like in that moment, "then one of the seraphim," one of the angels, "flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. And when he had touched it to my mouth, he said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sins have been atoned for.'" What's happening here? Isaiah is seeing the presence of God. He recognized, I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips. And the weight of his sin led to this. Point number 3 is that he understood the grace of God. How do you get to this place of availability before God? You understand God's grace. And there's this powerful moment that happens for Isaiah and happens for us when we grasp the weight of our sin. It prepares our heart for God's grace. When you grasp the weight of your sin, it prepares your heart for God's grace. Because we can't receive a Savior unless we know that we need saving. And Isaiah is deeply aware of his sin. And then with one touch from the goodness of God, his sins are completely forgiven, completely atoned for. And the beautiful thing about this story is that this is not a story that just is a moment for Isaiah, but this is a story that epitomizes what God wants to do for us through Jesus. That he wants to take away your guilt and your shame and your sin, and atone for your sins. And he does all of this through Jesus. That your lying lips, forgiven. Your lustful thoughts, forgiven. Your outbursts of anger, forgiven. All of your secret sins that you've never told anybody before, they're forgiven, and not just forgiven, but forgiven in such a way as if they never even happened before. In fact, Scripture says that when you confess your sins to God, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us, wipe them free, wipe them clean, completely atoned for, completely cleansed, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you may get a little excited this morning because you've experienced that, huh? You've experienced the grace and the goodness of God. See, when we experience God's presence, when you're aware of your own sin, and then you experience the unmatched and the undeserved grace of God through Jesus, and the only reasonable response is for us to say, "God, here I am. Yeah, it's not my desires. It's no longer about my goals or my ambitions. Here I am. God, whatever you want to do, I want to be used by you. God, I'm yours anywhere, anytime, anything." And here's the cool thing about this prayer is that this is not a prayer that you pray just one time. Like, you know, back in 2008, I prayed this prayer and that's great you did. But this is not a one-time decision. This is a daily decision to choose to be used by God because God wants to use you. And my prayer for our church is that we would have the audacity to pray this prayer where we would say, "God, here I am. Whatever it is, wherever you want me to go, however, God, here I am. Send me. I'm ready to be used by you." See, God may prompt you to serve somewhere in a place that you've never served before. He may call you to lead a growth group and you feel like that's not your gift mix. He may prompt you to do foster care. He may call you to begin the adoption process. He may call you to give sacrificially. God may call you to bless all of your neighbors in your neighborhood or make an impact in your workplace and your coworkers' lives. My guess is that God has already begun to speak these things to you and begin to prompt you and to speak, "Hey, I'm calling you to say this or do this or go to this place." I don't know what God is going to call you or prompt you to do, but when you pray this prayer, it's dangerous because he's going to use you and he's going to call you and he's going to speak to you. I want to close out this message with this story, and then I'm going to invite us all to pray this dangerous prayer. There was a pastor that preached a sermon, and after the sermon, he was standing by the door kind of like I do at the end of service, just saying hi and shaking hands and whatnot. And this guy came through the line, and he's just deeply emotional. And in this, the pastor gets to him and shakes his hand, and the guy says, "Pastor, you have no idea what God has done in my life. I just want to let you know the answer is yes. What's the question?" And the pastor is confused and doesn't know what to do with it. So he's like, "Have a great week." And it goes on to the next guy. And the week two comes around and this guy comes by again. And again, deeply emotional. "Pastor, you've got no idea. This service just blessed me so much. And you've got no idea. The answer is yes. What's the question?" Pastor again is confused and said, "I don't know. Have a great week." Week three comes by, and the guy comes by, and he's like, "Pastor, you've got no idea what a blessing it's been to be a part of this church. God has impacted my life so much. The answer is yes. What's the question?" And the pastor now is curious, and he's like, I don't know, but let's meet for coffee, and we'll talk about it." And so they meet for coffee during that week, and pastor goes to him and says, what's the deal with this? The answer is yes. What's the question?" And the guy looks at him, and he said, "Pastor, you've got no idea how God has impacted my life. I started coming to this church a year ago, and my life was a wreck. I was unfaithful to my spouse. I was unavailable to my kids, and I was addicted and all of these things. But God encountered me, and I encountered God in such a way that he radically changed my life, and I repented of my sin, and I received Jesus as my Savior. And from that moment on, you can ask my wife, I'm completely different. Ask my kids, I'm a new man. Ask anybody that knows me, and they'll see the transformation. And because I'm so grateful for what God has done in my life, I just have to let you know the answer is yes. Like, whatever God asks me to do, I've already said yes to him. So you need me to mow the yards? If that's the question, the answer is yes. You need me to give to this? The answer is yes. You need me to go here or adopt or whatever it is? The answer is, God, whatever you want me to do, the answer is yes." And he was completely available to God. How do we get to a place where we are completely available to God? Well, you've got to experience the presence of God. You've got to grasp the weight of your own sin. And then you've got to receive the goodness and the grace and the forgiveness of God. And when that happens, I'm telling you, this is not going to be something that you have to do. This is going to be an overflow of something that you get to do. That, God, you have impacted my life in such a way that there's nothing that I would rather do with my life than to serve you and to constantly say yes to whatever you have for me. Some of us, when God speaks to us, it's going to be, "God, here I am, but I'm not doing it." Some of us, it's going to be, "God, here I am, but send somebody else." But what I am believing about this church is that we're going to be people that say, when God said, God prompts us, we're going to say, "God, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me." And if that's a place that you're at this morning, and it's kind of an odd thing to request at church, but I'm going to ask you to not lie. And I want to ask you, are you willing to pray that prayer? And some of us may not be willing to pray that prayer, but I'm believing that the Holy Spirit is working in such a way in our lives that he's just brought us to a place where we say, "God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it." And if it's giving, if it's serving, if it's going, if it's, you know, getting to know those neighbors that, you know, their dog poops on my yard, whatever it is, God, I'll do it. Like, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. And if you're here this morning, and usually we close our eyes and bow our heads, but I don't want us to do that this morning. If you're here this morning and you're saying, "Not only am I willing to pray that prayer today, but for here's the challenge, for the next 7 days starting today that you're going to pray that prayer every day, this prayer of availability, God, here I am, send me," however that sounds to you, God, you've impacted my life and whatever you want me to do, I'll do it, however that prayer sounds to you. If you're willing to pray that prayer starting today for the next 7 days, would you raise your hand this morning and say, "God, that's me. Here I am. Send me whatever you want me to do. Use me. God, I want to be used. I want to be sent. God, we just thank you so much for your goodness to us. We thank you for how you've impacted our lives. We thank you for your grace in our lives. And we thank you that your Holy Spirit is speaking to us in such a way that we can't stay where we're at, that we're going to pray this dangerous prayer And we're going to move forward and allow ourselves to be in a place that we can be used by you, Father. And I thank you for this church, for us individually. God, would you empower us with your Holy Spirit to move and to speak and to obey in the ways that you're leading us to do. And God, I'm so excited about everything that you're going to do through this group of people. God, we are so grateful and we're available to you. We as a church, we're just committing. We're saying, God, here we are. Send us. Here we are, send us.